Amen. All right, good. Appreciate y'all. So this week, so we're diving in, right? So it's been really good. Anybody enjoyed this so far? Besides me, yeah, it's been awesome. All right, so this week's study. I'm out of breath trying to hurry up. Here we go. Focused on how men protect. And we usually protect in three ways, right? Y'all said it in there three ways. First one, it's going to be on the screen. It is physically. This is instinctive. How many of y'all have got to tell you to protect your family? Anybody? You gotta know, just do it, right? Automatically, you're gonna just get out there. So this one's pretty simple, right? For the most part, we don't have to be, we're gonna do this automatically, right? It shows how, it might be using a weapon. It might be hand-to-hand combat. It might be locking the doors, sacrificing your body. Whatever the case may be, we do that naturally, okay? Number two, so we're not gonna focus on that one, is relationally. This is emotional strength. Right, it's our responsibility to guard the emotional, mental, and health of our home and our loved ones, right? An environment that is safe for our family, our wives, our kids to speak, to feel, to grow, and even to fail, right? This is where we as men got to cultivate security with us so they're close to us, especially in our homes, at work, at church, with our relatives, all of those people. So we're not going to focus on those two because I only got 15 minutes. Is that okay with y'all? Okay. All right, probably down to like three now. Here we go. Number three is the one. It's the toughest one spiritually. Why? Because it's invisible, right? Spiritual. The spiritual protection is visible, invisible, right? Because you can't see it as you drift. Because the drift is not automatic. You ever notice that? Like my spiritual protection, you just can't see it right away. It doesn't just show up and say, oh, you can tell that person's not doing it. It's something that's it's quiet. It's invisible. It's intangible. It requires consistency without applause, and it confronts our own sin first. That's the hard part. So sometimes spiritually, like, yeah, I'm not really doing that, right? Any of that. So because you got to think about it, before you can lead spiritually, you have to first surrender spiritually. And I'm not saying that you're not devoted to God. It's just that one area that we don't want to expose. Anybody got that one area? Okay, please don't raise. Okay, so, thank you, brother, for not letting me have my hand up by myself. Thank you. All right, so. That one area. So now, let's get to this scripture real quick, spiritually. It's super good. Let's go to the next one. Next slide real quick. Ephesians 6 and 12. Here it is. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realm. Basically, this is saying that the real battle isn't in your home, isn't just financial, political, relational. It's the root of it is all spiritual. If your money's being messed with, it's spiritual behind it, right? If you addiction problems, it's probably got some kind of spirit. Anybody had some addiction problems in their bloodline? Anybody? Or something spiritual could be related to that, right? And it, and really two ways is how men protect our family, our homes, our lives. In case you're not married, you might not have a wife yet or kids, but it's two ways that you protect your own life. The first one is through prayer. Okay, this is big, through prayer. Prayer begins you being before the presence of God. Like, you got to be in the presence of God. If you don't stand in the gap for something, something else will. Anything else will, right? And I want you to think about it. As we pray for people, we're supposed to do this preemptively, kind of like Job did in Job 1 and 5. We read that. Let's go to the next slide real quick. Let's read that. Here we go. Job 1 and 5. He says, when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each one of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. That was Job's regular custom. Regular custom, right? So a lot of us, we got to get on our knees. We got to pray. We got to be willing to stand in the gap. Because guess what? Prayer and that spiritual piece is not passive. It's not something that we could just say, oh, my wife prayed for the family, so I'm going to let her do that. That's her role. No, no, no. As men, that's our job. I remember, I'll give y'all a quick story. My daughter was really young. We were in Georgia. It was like two or three, and she would wake up in night terrors, just screaming, running out of her room. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, maybe she just had a bad dream, blah, blah, blah. Consistently happening a couple times, a couple nights in a row, and I was praying one night. I'm like, man, Lord, what is going on? And I had a dream, and it had to be an angel, came, knocked at the door, and was like, hey, the reason why your home is jacked up is because you're not protecting it in prayer. And that same time, in that same week, my daughter was acting crazy. Well, I mean, was getting up through the night. Somebody tried to break into cars in our neighborhood. Something else happened at the another side. It was a bunch of craziness. And the Holy Spirit literally said to me in the dream, if you don't pray for your family, if you're not praying for your neighborhood, you're not praying for your community, everything, the spiritual realm, understands authority. And as the man, you're supposed to be preemptive in that. And I was like, dang, it's my fault. Right? And I'm like, man, this is crazy. So I wake up and this, you know, middle of the night or whatever, I'm like, oh shoot, I gotta start praying. So I start praying literally, and I'll call my dad the next day. He was like, yes, son, it's the reason why every neighborhood we're in, I'm praying for it. It gets better because I'm there. And when we leave, it fades. And I was like, huh. I noticed that. So I had to start praying for my family, and those night terrors went away. There's no longer robberies in the neighborhood. I'm not saying it was me, it's all God. But I stood into the gap and stepped in there early. Does that make sense? Right? This is powerful. Now, so let me give you guys a challenge when it comes to prayer a lot of times, right? These are the things that you should be asking yourself. Number one, are you the first to pray when something hits your home? Or is it your wife? Is it your kids? Or is that your first response to your kids saying, oh, dad, I'm sick. Oh, let's get you some medicine. Or is it, let's pray? Is that your first response? As the man, it should be. Do you intercede for your wife and your kids by name? And not just saying, oh, Lord, I pray for my wife, help her have a good day. No, actually, what is her name? And pray for her as an individual. Pray for each one of your children individually. I heard a man say, I pray for my kids' spouses already. I'm already praying for the husband that my daughter's going to have. I'm already praying for the wife my son is going to have. Right? Already praying for those things. How are they doing in school? All of the things, the leadership that they have, the calling that they have on their life. We should be praying for our family. Are you doing that? Do you discern what influences are shaping your house? Are you looking for that? Are you like, man, why is my kids are acting this way or that way, and I really don't understand what that looks like? Or is it something? It could be something that they're watching on TV. My son was playing a video game, and he would leave school when he got upset. I was like, Lord, what is it? He was like, play the video game with him. And I'm like, I don't even like video games. So I sit down, I play with him, and I'm like, oh, this is a wandering game. When he doesn't like it, he gets up and can just leave. I said, ah. And he said, take the game. That game in particular, take it from him. Took it from him, has not wandered since. So I'm like, ah, this is what's shaping and influencing in my household. Am I open to hearing God's voice to discern the things that are happening? Right? Because spiritual protection starts, guess what? On your knees. If you're not spiritually alert, your family is spiritually exposed. And that's on you. All right? Number two. The number two way is with presence. Presence, right? You set the spiritual climate in your home. Leadership is not about control. It's about responsibility. How many of y'all, I've said this a couple times. I'm maybe not here. But when I walk into a room, you got to determine whether you're a thermometer or a thermostat. What's the difference? A thermometer takes the temperature of the room. A thermostat sets the temperature in the room. So us as men, we should be the ones setting the climate of our home, setting the climate of our job, setting the climate of what we do. Everywhere we go, I set the temperature based on what we want it to be. What it should look like, how we want it to move. And you have that ability as the man. It's not about control. It's about leadership and responsibility and changing the narrative. When you walk in, you can feel somebody, something's off. Somebody's upset. It's like, oh, why are you, what are you talking to your brother like that? Why are you talking to your sister like that? Do not disrespect your mom. Whatever the case may be, we get the opportunity to set that up and set the spiritual tone and say, hey, we're a family. Let's pray about this thing. Let's change the atmosphere. Let's put on some different music. Let's turn off this crap that we're watching on TV. Let's turn off these other things. Let's set the temperature of the way we want our homes to move. And you have that ability, right? We should be doing that. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, 23 to 25, says this. It says, for the husband is the head of the house of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for her. We are the head of our households as men, as husbands, and husbands, we're supposed to lead just like Christ through sacrifice, through love, through truth, not dominance. So how do you set the tone, right? The way you set the tone, a husband sets the tone by the honor standard, the standard of honor in the home, right? That should automatically be there. Right? The appetite for God's word. That should be the next thing. It's another way that we set the standard. The culture of repentance and forgiveness. When your kids mess up, do you hold a grudge? When you screw up, do you ask for forgiveness? Is that something known? And then you set the tone of either faith or fear in your home. Which one is it? When the news comes on, are you nervous just like everybody else? Or you say, no, we trust God here. When the politics don't go the way you're supposed to go, that you want it to go, you say, no, we trust God. We're not worried about man. Are you setting on faith or fear? The man sets the tone. Because if a man is passive spiritually, the home drifts automatically. And if he is consistent spiritually, then it causes stabilization. All right? So here's a challenge for you too. Challenge number two for this, the next piece. Is the word of God opened in your house because you open it? Is worship happening because you initiated it? And I know sometimes as men, you're like, oh, I don't sing that good. But the Bible says make a joyful noise. There's all sorts of forms of worship. Sometimes you can sit, open up a piece of paper and write God is in the middle and put all the things that he is. Flip the piece of paper over and say, because God is, therefore I am. And write all of the things that you are. That's another form of worship. Do your kids see you sitting in prayer? Do they see you sitting in silence? Do they see you opening up your word? Do they see you worshiping God even though the note is wrong? Because I promise you it doesn't matter. Is worship happening because you initiated? Do your children see you repent and pursue God? Do they see when you screw it up and you're arguing with your wife in front of the kids? Nothing wrong with that. If you argue in front of them, fix it in front of them. Do they see that? Do they see, man, I had a bad day, or man, I talked to you wrong, or I had a bad tone when I came to you, son or daughter, and you know what? I'm coming back to you because, Dad, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I've never had a 14-year-old before, just like you ain't ever been 14. So I screwed it up, so let me apologize. Do they see that in you, in church? Now, this isn't about perfection. It's about being present, intentional, and accountable before God. Spiritual leadership demands four things. Discipline when you're tired. How many of y'all get tired and like, I could just pray tomorrow? Get tired and like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to lock the doors tonight. That don't even sound right. Do it. Right? Babe, I was too tired to lock the doors. That's why the robber came in. She's going to look at you like, what? It requires discipline even when you're tired. Same thing spiritually. Faith when nothing looks wrong. Some of us only go to God when things go bad. I still got to have faith in God when things are going well, even when it doesn't look bad. Repentance when your pride is exposed. Yeah, a lot that comes down to when we're leading our children and we screw it up or say something crazy. Are we repentant heart just because I'm in pride? Like, dang, I messed it up and I don't want to. We got to have it. Initiation when you feel unqualified. Your wife might be more of the spiritual person in your home, but that doesn't mean you can't initiate prayer. That doesn't mean you can't initiate worship. That doesn't mean you can't set the temperature and the honor in that way. Because most men will run towards a physical fight, but few men will consistently fight on their knees. Last quote, any man can guard a door, but few men will ever guard the atmosphere. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this word. God, we thank you for an opportunity to be men that protect spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally, all of the things, God. I thank you, Lord, that tonight as we're going through this study, Lord, that you would open up our eyes, give us clarity, give us a space for us to grow and realize some things that we can change just this week, Father, and implement in our lives, God. So we thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.